This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio. Health and wellness on Joy Drive.
Dr. Evangeline Mantzioris, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you today?
Very well, thank you, and glad to be chatting to you because this is such an important question that is often on a lot of our minds, is how much protein do we need, particularly as we get older?
Absolutely. Do we need more? Do we need the same? What is it?
And what is the situation? Like, let's start with someone, I suppose, you know, around the age of, 50, for example.
Yeah.
How much protein, assuming that they're just living a normal life of a 50-year-old, do they need?
Okay, so at about that age, and it's not a lot different from about 20 to 70, you need about 0.68 per kilos, 0.68 grams per kilo of body weight. So for a man that weighs 70 kilos, he needs about 50 grams of protein a day, which isn't a lot.
No, and let's say we're looking at that, you're saying between 20 and 50, it's quite similar if you're between those age groups. What if you are someone like myself, though, who does a lot of exercise? Do we need more than 50 grams per day?
And how old are you, Warren, again?
53.
I was going to say... You do. So if you are exercising, you do need a little bit more. And it's probably doubled what the usual amounts are. So it starts at about 1.4 grams per kilo of body weight. But even with that, most of us eat enough to even meet the requirements of doing exercise. What's important is how you space out the protein through the day if you are actually an athlete.
Evangeline, what is protein in itself? I mean, we know if we eat a chicken breast, we're eating protein, but what actually is it?
Yeah. Look, protein's one of those essential components of our diet, and we call it a macronutrient because we need it in large amounts, and we also use it to supply us with a little bit of energy. Most of the energy we need comes from the carbohydrates we eat and the fats we eat. But if we don't eat a lot of carbohydrate and fat in our diet, so someone who might follow a keto diet, for example, or the Atkins diet, which are those high protein diets, they're going to be burning a lot of that protein for energy as well. But aside from the energy, we use protein to build up our body. So we need it to build up muscles, to make bones, to make hormones, to make immune factors, to make everything. So for a little baby that's growing, it's really essential for them to be able to grow properly, to have adequate amounts for protein. But as we get old and we've stopped growing, what we need it for is replacing cells, repair and maintenance, if you like, is what it's used for. But it is critical because, you know, every time we might cut ourselves, we need protein for that skin to heal properly.
What about when we're unwell? Do we need protein to repair the cells?
Yeah, look, it depends what it is. If you've been unfortunate enough to suffer burns or to have a broken leg or to have major surgery, extra protein is needed because there's a lot of repair going on for those situations. But if you've got a cold or, those other day-to-day illnesses, you don't need an extra amount of protein. What you need is a really nutritious diet the whole time to make sure you get all the nutrients that you need to make yourself feel better for that. But so big distinction. If you're seriously ill, yes, you may need more protein. Those day-to-day illnesses, probably not.
Let's move on to, I suppose, midlife and the amount of protein that we need. What happens to our bodies and what happens to our intake of protein at that time? Do we need more? Do we need less?
Yeah, look, there's been a lot in the social media at the moment about midlife being about the age of 50, where we are, Warren.
I was just about joking. Do we need really in my 20s.
So was I. So for those that are a bit older than us in their 50s, there's been a lot in the media, social media influencers telling us that we need extra protein. And look, I'm probably going to say that that's getting pushed, that, you know, their product placement, they're trying to sell more protein powders. Is that about the age of 50? You don't. But what we know may be beneficial at around this age is that protein in the meal satiates you. So it's the part of the meal that makes you feel full. So that's why it's important to have protein in every meal. So, you know, if you're having breakfast, if you have toast, maybe having some yogurt with that or having an egg on toast, not having yogurt with the toast but separate to it. If you're having cereal, the milk forms the protein part. So you've got protein in your breakfast. Looking at having protein in lunch, be it, you know, beans, a bean salad, a minestrone, you know, your famous soup with lots of beans in it will help with feeling, you know, satiated. You might even go, look, you might put bits of chicken in there, leftover chicken from the night before. If you got a barbecue chook from the, you know, supermarket for last night's dinner, you can cut up a bit of that chicken and pop it into a sandwich or pop it into a soup. That's a really good source. Tuna is another good source of protein for lunch, or cheese. And then at dinner is when most people have lots of protein in their diet. So it's trying to get rid of it in the dinner, not having it so high, and spreading it throughout the day. And that's really important for keeping you satiated at each meal. And it would also help for those that are going to the gym to maintain that constant protein intake to build up their muscle as well.
Evangeline, what if someone is going through menopause? Does that make a change in their, or does that change their requirement for the amount of protein that they have every day?
No, not really. As before, protein may help make them feel full and therefore may reduce weight gain in that way. But apart from that, they don't need any extra protein. It's all about just making sure you spread it out during the day. And there's been some interesting research looking at postmenopausal women and the type of protein they eat. And a couple of observational studies have been done. And remember, these don't tell us it's a definite cause and effect. It just tells us there's an association. They found that those that had more vegetable protein had a lower risk of frailty compared to those that had, you know, animal protein. So that's an interesting aspect. And another one found that higher lean muscle mass, so more muscle with women that had higher protein intake. But once again, this wasn't really high levels. It was just getting it, you know, up there in combination with the resistance exercise. So doing that exercise is really, really important.
We're chatting with Dr. Evangeline Mantzioris, Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences at the University of South Australia, about how much protein we need as we get older. We'll get into supplements in a second, Evangeline. I just wanted to, something that concerns me as I get older is the loss of muscle mass. And I'm not just talking about an aesthetic perspective, but more about, you know, just preventing, protecting us as we fall, etc., making sure that we're balanced, all these sorts of things. Is it important that we keep our protein intake up to ensure that we don't lose that muscle mass, or does it not have an impact on it whatsoever?
Yeah, look, it's important, but you don't need a lot more than your, if you're meeting your requirements. What is important to reduce that muscle loss is actual resistance training. So, you know, walking, weight bearing exercise. So this is where walking is going to be more useful than swimming or riding a bike, because those latter two aren't weight bearing. You know, lifting weights, all that sort of stuff, going up and down stairs is all really useful. So keep up high quality sources of protein, be they either animal and vegetable, against a really nutritious background diet full of fruits and vegetables, and then also keeping up the exercise. And that is the important thing. Once we get about to the age of 70, that's when we start to look at needing a little bit more protein in our diet. And we need about an extra 10 grams of protein a day, which is what you'd get in a couple of eggs, or, you know, the amount of chicken you'd put in your sandwich, or a glass of milk, or, you know, two nice big chunks of cheese. So at 70, it seems, is when it's time to start bumping up the protein. And it's a little bit difficult then, because often people have a reduced appetite at that age. So you've got to make the food even more high quality and less junk food in there, so you don't gain excess weight, but you get all the good quality nutrients.
What about supplements? Should we, if we reach, you know, we get to the age of 70, we think, you know what, we need to increase our protein a little bit now. Should we consider using supplements?
Only if you've tried the diet first. Because what happens is with supplements, you're just getting the protein. So you're just getting the amino acids. And if you compare that to having cheese, not only is cheese a whole lot tastier, but you also get other nutrients in there like calcium and vitamin D, which is really important for your health as well. So we always say food first because you get all those other vital nutrients. But if you find with elderly family members, they're having trouble eating, you know, lots of extra food, it might be where a protein supplement, a drink might be useful. But I'd still try milk first ahead of a protein supplement because that milk will have the added nutrients in.
Evangeline, let's say we're not getting enough protein in our diet and we are over 50 or even over 70. And what are the symptoms of protein deficiency? How do we know? What are some of the things we can look out for to say, you know what, I do need to up the amount of protein that I'm eating?
Yeah, well, the first thing will be that muscle wasting that you spoke about. And that one's a little bit tricky because it could also be lack of exercise, but that might be one sign. The other good sign is healing. So when you go, oh gosh, had that cut for a long time and it's not healing properly, that could be a sign of protein deficiency. If people get fluid buildup, and this could be for other medical reasons as well, so it's important to go and get it checked out by the GP that it's not due to other reasons, and potentially also other things like anemia. So it won't be one thing in particular that tells you you're deficient in protein. It'll be a whole lot of things that are happening. And this is always a good idea, you know, I'm sure most people do it anyway, go and see their doctor annually and get checkups and get weighed and see what's happening to their weight and then talk about any problems that they might be having. And sometimes it's all these little things that might be occurring that might show, you know, the doctor a picture of, okay, there might be a protein deficiency here. So you should look at having about, you know, 3 serves of dairy a day and about 3 serves of protein. And protein is the fish, the meat, the chicken, the nuts, all the beans and lentils. And if you're having about that, you should be right. But if you're having less and you're having these symptoms, you might be having some protein deficiency in elderly age.
And see your GP. Evangeline, I know from this conversation and the amount of cheese that I eat that I don't need supplements.
And I bet your cheese is way more delicious than your supplements, right?
Oh, so much better. And I won't tell you how many eggs I have every morning as well. But yes, tick the box. Definitely enough protein there. Evangeline, great information. Really important. Thank you so much again for joining us. We'll talk to you in a fortnight.
My pleasure. Good afternoon, everyone.
Thank you, Dr. Evangeline Mantzioris, Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences at the University of South Australia.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.